The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
Welcome, everybody. It's another week of Need to Know. Kip Kiefer with you and delighted to announce that the better half of our program, the co-hostess with the mostest, Terry Quillian, is with us. And we're delighted to have her and all of her brilliant perspectives. And we're going to have a great show for you today. Terry, welcome back to Need to Know. We've missed you.
Yep, I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're going to have a rousing discussion on a couple of different things that have come up in the last week or so. And let's start with one of the things I most admire about my esteemed partner is her willingness and eagerness, really, to travel the world and go see things she hasn't seen. And, you never know where she's going to pop up. She certainly has made a great lifetime of being in all corners of the globe and has an amazing array of experiences. But your destination last weekend, Terry, a little bit surprising. Tell everybody where you turned up the previous weekend.
Yes, I think it surprised Kip to learn that I decided to make a weekend trip to the Rio Grande Valley. And the Rio Grande Valley is the border between Texas and Mexico in Texas along the Rio Grande River. And in the Rio Grande Valley, there are really three main cities. And the three main cities would be McAllen, Harlingen, and Brownsville. And in the past, up until just a couple of months ago, McAllen was the spot where we were having major border crossing issues. That is the city that is directly adjacent across the river to Reynosa, Mexico, one of the most dangerous cities in Mexico. We're so lucky here in the Rio Grande. We have the second most dangerous city in Mexico, which is Matamoros, yes, mm-hmm. which is directly across the border from Brownsville. You'll remember Matamoros is the city that last year we had the four Americans kidnapped and two killed.
Oh, yeah.
The Mexican government tried to put out, right after it happened, President Obrador put out a statement saying, well, they were involved in drug running. Kip, no, they weren't. There was a woman who was coming for her second cosmetic procedure, which is something Matamoros had been known for. It was a medical tourism town. And apparently, the word from the cartels is they made a mistake and mistook that white van for the white van of the other cartel that they were fighting with. So that's the general area where I was.
Wow. It amazes me because you have now matched our border czar, Vice President Kamala Harris, for number of visits to the border in the last couple of years. Congratulations.
Since I went to multiple border crossings, I think I may have beat the wonderful Kamala. Yes. By this point.
So, I mean, you told me a little bit about your trip, but in McAllen, you were surprised with just the unbelievable amount of law enforcement was there from all parts of the country.
Oh, yeah. At the hotel in which we were staying in McAllen, there was the National Guard from Texas. There was the Texas State Patrol. And I love them. Thank you, Governor DeSantis and the people of Florida. A large contingent from the Florida State Patrol were there, too. In fact, when I was trying to decide where to park after dinner in the dark, it was pretty easy. I saw a spot between two Florida State Patrol cars, and I thought, that's it. That's
not a bad spot.
So what's interesting, Kip, is you've got these two major cities across the border in the Rio Grande Valley that are hubs of violent crime and danger. And that's Reynosa right by McAllen. And mm-hmm. then when you go to the east, you've got Matamoros right across from Brownsville and less than 20 miles from SpaceX at Boca Chica, where they launched the spaceship this past weekend.
But Mary, I think it's ironic that way back in 2017, when we were doing the ride home program in Birmingham every Monday through Friday, we had a couple of different shows devoted to your interest and knowledge of what was happening at that time. This was long before the borders were wide open and there was major illegal migration going on. This was border wars between drug cartels trying to do their nefarious business and American authorities. So you've been kind of immersed in this particular area for a long time.
It's been an area that's really interested me because I was very angry in those years at what was happening to McAllen, Texas, because McAllen is a great story of the American dream. It's a story where a lot of people who are first or second year generation legal immigrants have moved, although the population is about 50% Caucasian there. And Kip, what they have built in McAllen is a beautiful town. Now, if you listen to the liberal news media, or I made the mistake of like Googling on Google instead of DuckDuckGo, because on Google you get all the left-wing news. I was told that McAllen is one of the poorest cities in the United States. It's destitute. It's awful. Tell you what it was like when I got off the plane. First of all, I got off at Valley International Airport, which is in Harlingen, maybe 20 minutes from McAllen. First thing no one tells you is that the Rio Grande Valley is gorgeous. Kip, it's this huge valley that's super lush with natural palm trees. And by natural, I mean not planted. They grow there naturally as far as you can see. So you look for miles and miles and miles, and you see this beautiful, lush green landscape with palm trees coming out of it. It's gorgeous. Then as we're driving into McAllen, I'm waiting to go to this pitifully poor little town. First, we passed the Lexus dealership. Then we passed the Jaguar dealership. Then we passed the Mercedes dealership. And then we passed the Maserati dealership. Now, I don't know if there's a Bentley dealership there, but I know that the restaurant we went to at dinner that evening parked the two parking places. The valets had the cars closest to the front door. One was a Maserati and one was a Bentley. So it's not exactly the hellhole that the liberal media would want you to think it is. And they want you to think that so you won't be upset if it gets destroyed. They want you to think it's a crummy little border town. There's nothing there. It is a gorgeous story of the American dream. Now, I was going down, and I will say this, I wasn't going down to spend time in Reynoso or Matamoros. Those two huge towns are two of the most dangerous towns in Mexico, and the Mexican government says that. The state they're in, Tamaulipas, is State Department says do not travel, too dangerous. Well, one of the bridges, the bridge, the Progreso Bridge from the Rio Grande Valley into Mexico, goes into a little town called Nuevo Progreso. And Kip, this little town between the two most dangerous cities in Mexico, full of Americans. It is a hub for dental tourism, where Americans come across the border. My friend was getting his teeth cleaned by a very highly regarded dentist there. Do you know what he paid to get his teeth cleaned in Nuevo Progreso? In
a very I wouldn't be able to venture a guess.
Hey, it's $195 at my dentist in Dallas. $35 for sparkling white teeth.
Wow.
So the town is full of Americans. At first, I was, when he said, oh, you can wander around town while I'm getting my teeth cleaned, I thought, I'm not wandering around a Mexican border town alone. We walked across the border. I saw the town. There's music playing everywhere. Every other establishment is either a dentist or a bar or a drugstore. And lots of outdoor bars lining the streets. Lots of knockoff purses being sold. Very fun atmosphere. Most of the people I saw were Americans that weren't the shopkeepers. I looked at Bo, walked him to his dentist and went, text me when you get out. I'm out of here. I am going to Nuevo Progreso. He found me about an hour later at the Red Panty Bar. Literally, outdoor bar and indoors, outdoor bar, big picture of a red bikini, red panty bar where the patrons are 100% American.
That's amazing. I mean, what I hope you realize, the picture you're painting now is so counter to what we're spoon-fed every single day. So it's remarkable that you were there and witnessed this and are relating it to all of our need to know listeners, because these are things they need to know, that so much of the information that we are just pounded with is tainted to fit an agenda. And it really is nice that you took the time and effort to go down there and observe. You sent me some video during your visit there of the bridge and the traffic coming across to get into this country. What were your observations? What kind of people are coming from the Mexican side, and how's the border situation there? What kind of influx of migrants are we getting on a daily basis?
What a great question, because here's the story they don't want you to know. Since the state of Texas has hardened the border in that area, you have to go farther west to Eagle Pass, where mm-hmm. you have more than 30,000 coming across the border every day. And since we've tightened Eagle Pass, they're now shifting to Arizona and California. We were getting more than 30,000 a day flooding the border in Eagle Pass. Joe Biden wants that to continue. Texas is putting up razor wire. He sued Texas for federal agents to be able to come in. Okay, here's what a lot of people don't realize. In order to have a wall, the wall can't be in the river. So the wall has to be X number of yards on the U.S. side, right? Mm-hmm. And it's built right on the edge of the river because the ground's not stable. So you've got X number of yards into the U.S. before you can have the razor wire and the wall. So you have illegal immigrants crossing the Rio Grande in terribly dangerous conditions, many of them, led by these awful coyotes, and that's something I can talk about later. Almost 100% of the women have been sexually abused and raped, and the children have been trafficked. The men are forced to carry drugs across for the cartels. It's a horrible situation. But they would get onto American land right before that razor wire. Biden is sending border agents in to process these illegals, Kip, which means to hand them their $5,000 gift card, give them a kiss on the cheek, and welcoming them into the United States. In Texas, Governor Abbott said, no mas, we're not doing that. So we put up the razor wire. The federal agents come in and they cut the razor wire. We just build more of it. And it's been successful so far. So back to your question about what's happening now at what is a safe border crossing of Nuevo Progreso. It looks like it did 5 years ago. 1 year ago, when you walked across the bridge into the United States from Nuevo Progreso into Progreso, the bridge is clear. Now, the video I sent you, Kip, this is the disturbing story Americans are not getting. That entire bridge is covered in migrant tents, all lined up, all the way up to the Mexican side of the border. But here's the scary thing they're not telling you. Not one group of people that I heard, and there, some of them are in the tents, a lot of them are standing outside, but you can hear the voices. Guess what language I did not hear coming from any of those people?
I'm going to guess English.
No Spanish.
Oh, these no Spanish. That makes sense. People. Yes.
They're not even South American people, Kip. Languages I heard overwhelmingly, two languages overwhelmingly, Chinese and Russian.
Wow.
Now, let's look at what it takes for a Russian to decide to come to Mexico to come across the border. You do realize Russia borders Poland. So if you're a Russian dying to get out of Europe into freedom, why wouldn't you cross into Poland, where you don't need an airplane ticket and to cross the oceans to get here? Why wouldn't you go into Poland or any of those other Eastern European countries, maybe not Ukraine, but any of those multitude of Eastern European countries? You can go from Poland to Germany. Why wouldn't you cross into Europe? Why are you taking multiple airplane flights and spending a fortune to sleep on a bridge on the U.S. border from Mexico. There's no good answer to that. And then the Chinese people, this is just open warfare. Can you imagine the money? So I stopped and asked one of the Chinese whose wife was there, who had broken English, how did you get here? They spent over $20,000, supposedly they spent, to get here. Hmm. And the bridge is lined with all these very poor-looking Chinese. I don't believe the Chinese people are paying for it themselves, Kip. I'll say it right now.
No, of course not.
That the Chinese government is funding this invasion into our border.
Yeah, well, there was just an incident this weekend where a Lebanese national who has been spending a lot of time in South America was accosted at the border because he's on the terrorist watch list.
He's and a Hezbollah agent. He was accosted in El Paso.
Yes, that's exactly right. And he just opened up about what he was doing here. He was coming after going through extensive training on terror tactics and bomb making. He was coming here to join up with a group that plans on creating explosive devices. God only knows what kind of severity that's going to be. We've got the director of the FBI, Terry, Christopher Wray, testifying in Congress repeatedly that all Americans need to be diligent because these people are in our country now. These people intent on doing damage and creating, terrible terrorist incidents and killing Americans. And he's on duty on the administration that has had the doors wide open to allow these people to stroll into the country, which violates the basic premise of what the federal government is supposed to do, is create a secure and safe country by securing its borders. And Joe Biden has absolutely, and his administration, violated the Constitution. It's unfathomable what has occurred here in his administration.
Well, and Kip, on that particular story, this is the rest of the story.
Okay. Well, Harvey, go ahead.
Well, watch for it. The Biden administration, you watch for it. Quietly, months from now, they're going to release this guy because here's what happened. He gets caught at the border crossing in El Paso, and he says, I plan on making a bomb. That's what he says, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now he gets the advantage of all these non-governmental charitable organizations. Ugh. By the way, he's had 7 years of training with Hezbollah. Guess what tune he's singing now? I came here to escape Hezbollah. It's not easy to escape those terrorists. I'm applying for asylum because I'm trying to escape Hezbollah. And you watch, if Joe Biden gets reelected, that dude will be set free.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Plus the fact that a lot of times when they do accost these people and realize that there's just a mile long warrant list of things that they've done in other places, they don't arrest them and incarcerate them. They deport them, and all they do is just come right back. So it's just absolute nonsense of what's going on. And Americans need to know what's happening on the border, and do not depend on the mainstream media for information, because they're agendized to paint this picture that they want you to see, and it's not accurate information. And you've just verified a lot of that with the things you've related.
Yeah, 100% you're not getting accurate information. And if people saw what the bad parts of Mexico were really like and how evil those cartels are. So my poor friend, okay, he looks like Texas Walker Ranger. This is a big strapping, Texan, right? Definitely looks like Texas Walker Ranger. I'm like, I want to go down and see Reynosa. He was like, okay, we're not going into Reynosa. There is no way, because the most dangerous part of Reynosa is right at the border crossing. Because, Kip, what they do is they kidnap migrants trying to get into the United States over the Mexican side. So you can't cross over. I talked him to, against his better judgment, and us going to the McAllen-Reynoso Bridge and going right down to the Mexican border there. It is like a no man's land. This is the tale of two cities, tiny little Nuevo Progreso, totally safe and happy. Reynosa, there is nobody wanting to go in, except you do see Mexicans that come across the border to shop in Hidalgo, the town right across from Reynoso. Reynoso itself is a no-go zone. And here's how Donald Trump had it right on so many things. Do you remember when we signed NAFTA that was going to be so great? All these maquiladores, the factories that opened up on the Mexico-Texas border, guess where most of them are? In Reynosa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now a war zone.
Unbelievable.
What's going on is horrific. And the cartels are so obvious with their strength and their evilness. I think most Americans can't imagine the kind of evil person who kidnaps children and sells them. They just can't conceive of it. And that's what we are allowing to just flow into the United States of America under the leadership of Joe Biden or whoever it is that's actually running the United States right now.
Yeah, and it's just getting worse. Like any evil entity that's agendized to for profit and power, the more money they get, the more influence they have, and the harder they're going to be to get rid of. Terry, this might sound extreme to some people, but I believe this country should declare these people domestic terrorists and an enemy of the United States and take military action to wipe them out, because that's how big a threat they are and how much damage they're doing.
We've tried to do that in Texas. It's
being challenged. But
drug cartels, it's a challenge. There's a border island that was formed like 20 years ago when the Rio Grande cut a channel that created an island between Mexico and Texas that hadn't been there before. And so for years, it was a question of, because the land had been in Texas, like, whose land is it? Is it Mexico's land? Is it America's land? Well, the Texas Land Commissioner, Dawn Buckingham, who is awesome, she completed a survey at the end of last year that showed that that land belonged to the United States. And the United States, on behalf of from Texas, working with the Mexican government, worked to try to clear out that island. Kip, this island's totally owned by the cartels. They have huge buildings with their names spray painted on the side of it. There were videos of all of these cartel members in fatigues with automatic weapons on the beach in Texas. Finally, and that island's completely overgrown. Finally, when we took the island back, do you know what it required doing? Cutting down all the vegetation on the island.
Oh, wow.
What those border gangs were hiding inside.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it was a major effort to get rid of them. So the Mexican government has decided under Obrador in 2016, he decided no more fighting against the immigrants. Was it 2016? Hang on. I think it might've been 2019. No, I'm sorry. It was 2019 in January. He decided on hugs, not bullets. And that led to in 2019, that meant no more fighting the cartels. In 2019, they had the highest number of homicides ever, 34,600. As a result of his hugs, not bullets. So now the Mexican government, since 2019, they're not going to fight the cartels. The U.S. military is not going to go into Mexico and fight the cartels. That is a ridiculous losing war. What we need to do is just close the border so we're not inviting them into
Take them out of business. That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, your insights are incredible in this, and it's so valuable to all of our listeners. And this is things that people do need to know, which is the premise of our show. So great stuff. I do want, in the time we have remaining, to pivot to a couple of other issues, and we could talk about the border and the situation that's gotten out of hand for hours. But another item this week in Germany caught my attention because of you. Once again, I've been teasing Terry a little bit that back in the day when I first got into media, we had these giant ticker things that sent us information from all these news organizations, AP, UPI, Reuters. I don't need any of that now because I've got the best wire service on earth, and her name is Terry Quillian. She sends me information all the time, and it's invaluable. You sent me an item from Germany, which absolutely confirmed things we talked about way back in 2020. And it was just another step in the process of understanding what was perpetrated. Talk about fraudulent situations and agendized items. What was the result of this German study that a subject that we had spent a lot of time talking about?
I've been talking, Kip. I'm going to let you tell this story. I've been talking way too much on your podcast here.
Well, you could tell it. You sent me a thing that the German government had finally commissioned legitimate scientists and a full scale study on COVID-19. And one of the first conclusions that they reached, Terry, that you sent me, was that the PCR tests, which was the routine route of determining whether COVID was positive or negative in people, turned out to be just a complete farce. It was almost completely unreliable. And we were all just super dependent on this. Your doctor told you back in 2020 that she believed, and she had dealt with thousands of people that had been infected or supposedly infected. She told you PCR tests at that time were an absolute fraud. So expound on your thoughts on that.
Yes, it's just so much. The whole COVID thing, so many lies. So back in 2020, yes, my doctor who treated and cured thousands of COVID patients, by the way, without putting them in the hospital, the only patient she lost during all of COVID, the only patient she had who died, died because he went into a hospital that would not release him. Even though she was his doctor of record, they would not let him out, and he died in the hospital. The rest of her patients, they all lived. Okay, so she told me back in 2020, at the time I was involved doing advance for President Trump, that there was a big scam going on to make people believe they had COVID. Her contention then, which has been perfectly borne out now, is that there's no such thing as an asymptomatic case of COVID. If you test positive on a PCR test and you don't have symptoms, you don't have COVID.
Yeah.
And you know what, Kip? That was their excuse for locking up millions of healthy people in their homes. The first time in history we've ever quarantined healthy, free citizens. And now it turns out that was all fake. But do you hear that from the drive-by media?
Oh, hell, absolutely.
Are you hearing that story?
You will never hear a word about this study and what they have determined either, because that is just toxic to their agenda.
Yo, absolutely. They were happy to quarantine everyone. I believe they wanted to quarantine everyone for two reasons. One, they wanted to impact the outcome of the 2020 election.
Absolutely.
You can have drive-by voting and these drop boxes and everything else. I think the other thing was it was a test of how far the totalitarian state could go. Dr. Deborah Birx, who I love, Rush Limbaugh, he called her the scarf queen. Remember how she always had
the right.
Scarf on? So he called her scarf queen. She was actually quoted as saying with glee, we didn't know that it would work. We didn't know that we could tell everybody to stay home and to close businesses and that they would do it. What kind of sheep did the American public turn out to be?
Yeah, and let's just hope that they learned something from this and that enough people realize what fraud was perpetrated on this country, because this was at the foundation of this. It was a desperate, I'm going to use the right word here. They had desperate need to defeat Donald Trump in the election, and he was surging and was going to ride to a resounding victory, still got 12 million more votes than he got in 2016 when he won the election. But because of these just severe conditions and all the things you just talked about, they were able to impose all these emergency contingencies on the election and basically just steal it. And people still cringe when you say that, But it's just more and more the facts just make it completely obvious that was the agenda, because Donald Trump had to go, because in his second term, and now that's why they're so fearful of him now and trying everything possible to derail his candidacy, because he's going to go in with a wrecking ball and wipe out all the years of, and I use this word gleefully, progress that these progressive maniacs have been getting away with. So that's kind of an interesting aspect. But you will not hear about this finding that all of the testing was fraudulent, because this the other major conspirator and entity that really enriched themselves were the pharmaceutical companies themselves, all in cahoots this thing, which sounds like this wild James Bond plot, but this is the reality, Terry. This is exactly what happened.
And you know what's really disgusting, Kip, is the lie we were told about at first. There are all these people whose deaths were labeled as COVID deaths.
Everyone.
They died from a car accident.
Yeah.
Or suicide or cancer or something else. But because they died, quote unquote, with COVID, then it was a COVID death. But how did we know they died with COVID? Because they were all asymptomatic. Guess what? A PCR test said they had COVID.
Yeah.
COVID death tolls bear no relation to reality. And I'm not saying that people did not die from COVID. There were definitely people who did, but not anywhere close to the numbers that were reported. We're now saying that was a complete sham.
Well, I looked up the numbers today. Going in the 5 years previous to 2020 and 2021, the average amount of people dying in the United States was approximately between 2.6 and 2.7 million. In 2020 and 2021, when supposedly millions were dying from COVID, the death rate in those 2 years was just over 2.8. So it was not a tremendous spike of deaths due to COVID. It was mostly people that already were suffering from heart conditions or cancers, the things you just listed, and anything. And it was, we even talked about it, I know, at the time, where if somebody had a motorcycle accident, well, that was a death attributable to COVID, because they were so savvy in rewarding hospitals and medical authorities with government money if they coded any death as COVID related. And they had all the bases covered. This was the perfect crime, the perfect fraud, and it achieved the purpose. And, you know, let's hope that the American people have learned something and take these despots out of office. We got one more subject real quick I want to talk about, because again, this is not something you're hearing much about. We've got about 2 minutes left. The sweeping changes already happening in the first 48 hours of the Republican National Committee running Ronna McDaniel out and replacing with Laura Trump. And I want you to talk about Scott Pressler especially.
Yeah, I was at first skeptical when Laura Trump was going to come in. First thing she did was get rid of most of the staffers at the RNC. Yay, Laura, go.
Drain the swamp, baby. That's it.
Draining the swamp. She is doing it. And then she did something that has just delighted Republican activists across the country. She hired the amazing Scott Pressler, who, Kip, for the past 2 years has been self-funding the largest voter registration drive in the history of the Republican Party. He has been working tirelessly across the country, training people so that others know how to sign up voters. Scott's like, Terry, I'm going to teach you how you can sign people up to vote from your bed. All you can do it with an app. I'm going to show you how to do it. And he did that with thousands and thousands of people. Ronna McDaniel refused to even answer his phone calls. She would not return a phone call to the man leading the largest grassroots effort ever in the history of the Republican Party. Laura Trump has made him in charge of voter outreach for the RNC. So that is a really positive, exciting development for the RNC in the upcoming election.
Unbelievable. Terry, we're out of time. This has been fantastic. So much great information from you, as always. You always bring it, and I know our listeners are so appreciative of you giving us some of your time today. We hope that you'll be a regular voice on Need to Know going forward. Thank you so much for joining us. We got to run. Kip Kiefer, Terry Quillian, thank you all for listening to Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.